This is the Janine Betts Show. I invite you to join me on a journey where I help 100 women earn an income online. If you are stuck in corporate America and you're trying to figure out how you can fire your boss, then I invite you on this podcast where I will reveal the strategies on how you can create passive income and create a real legacy.
I am so excited to welcome a fellow teacher, Amanda Cottrell out of Calgary, Alberta. Woo! Canadian! To the podcast. I get a little bit excited, ladies, about my fellow Canadian entrepreneurs. You all know that. Amanda, welcome this evening. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Yay! So as I mentioned, Amanda is a teacher. She's also a children's book illustrator. She's an author. And she runs her own Reiki classes. So this is an all-around lady that you need to listen to tonight. I was curious, Amanda, with your background and experience, can you talk a little bit more about how you got into building a business online?
Well, I've been teaching for 14 years now. Mm-hmm. And when I first became a teacher, I wanted to go through university and then do my master's. And I did my master's in education technology. And I wanted to be a learning leader for technology stuff in the schools. And then they cut all the funding for that program, where they had these learning leaders that would go to schools and help teachers implement inquiry into the classroom and with technology, using robots and using different websites and really thinking outside the box with regards to the curriculum. And anyways, they cut that funding. And so I was I don't want to go into administration. And I've always wanted to write children's books and illustrate children's books. And I've had ideas always popping into my mind. And I teach grade 3 in Alberta, where the social studies curriculum, which is my favorite because I have a degree in political science as well, but we study 4 different countries. And the whole focus of the grade 3 curriculum is global citizenship and understanding what it means to be a citizen. And so we study these 4 countries, Peru, India, Tunisia, and Ukraine. And there's no good resources at a grade 3 reading level for us to use in the classroom. So I was I need to start writing some books that I can use that relate to my curriculum, that allow me to teach what I need to teach and also tie what I'm teaching about social studies into science and into math and into mindfulness, because mindfulness is a huge focus that I have. So that's kind of why I started, was because I wanted resources in my classroom that I needed.
That is extremely inspiring. I mean, talk about the see a need, fill a need of entrepreneurial. That's great. Very, very cool. So how did it progress from, you solved a problem that your immediate classroom had, but how did you get into illustrating books for kids?
Well, what happened was I went through a really rocky divorce. I was in a really unhealthy marriage. And so I went through that, and then I went to a retreat through the Hoffman Institute. And in one of the meditations at the retreat, I wrote a whole book as soon as the meditation was over about, and it was called It's Okay to Feel. And I was like, oh man, my kids need this in the classroom. I need this. I need to recognize that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be super happy and excited. It's okay to have all these different emotions and fears and anxieties. And anxiety is something that I really struggle with. And I've never really recognized that I did struggle with it until I was in my 30s. And I want to help kids who have anxiety too, and recognizing that they can talk about their feelings and that some of the feelings that come up through fear might actually just be anxiety underneath. And so I wrote this whole book right after this meditation, and then it sat there, and I started drawing some pictures for it. And I was living at my aunt and uncle's farm with my baby at the time. She was 3, and I draw some pictures here and there. And I was like, you know what? I make MacBook picture books all the time of me and my daughter or me and my family. And so I'm just going to make this book. I'm going to draw the pictures. I'm going to make it on a Mac and have it in my classroom. And then the universe had different ideas for me because I told people this is what I was doing. And they were like, you need to meet Lori Wright. She used to be a kindergarten teacher. She lives in Okotoks. I grew up in Okotoks. And she was a teacher and she started writing books. And now that's what she does full time. She ended up having three kids, was a stay-at-home mom, didn't want to go back to the classroom just because of life as a three kids is crazy. And she had ideas for a book. And she wrote a book called I Can Handle It. And it's just been going wild on Amazon. She's helping so many people through her books, the Mindful Mantras series. And so friends connected me with her, and went to a couple workshops with her just out in Okotoks, because I live in Calgary, in the south end of Calgary. And on a whim one night, I messaged her. The course was supposed to start at 7:00, and I was like, it was like 5:00, and I was like, I have my daughter. I'm a single mom. I met you at teachers' convention. I know you through people from Okotoks. Can I just come to this workshop that you're having tonight and bring her and throw her on her iPad and just listen? She was like, absolutely, come along. So on a whim, I went, because my book was written. The pictures were done. I had it all set up on the Mac to just buy one copy for myself. And I learned how to get it onto Amazon. And through that one course with her, just it was like a two-hour course. She told us all about what she did, how she started to become an author, and how to get your books on Amazon. So I went to that course, and then I went to one other course with her that she held just in Okotoks. Is another two-hour session, and then I did a couple other one-on-one things with her where I paid her to help me, and that was it. So then I've co-authored two books. One's called I Am a Rainbow, A Children's Guide to the Chakras, which is ties in my energy healing piece. And then I co-authored another one called I Am Fearless, a yoga story for kids and superheroes. And I co-authored that with a girlfriend of mine who is a yoga teacher and entrepreneur who has a jewelry line in Calgary. And it's also become like an international jewelry line. She's done really well with her business. And our two kids are our little buddies in grade three together. Well, grade two at the time when we wrote the book, and they're the stars of the book. And yeah, so that was kind of our inspiration for that. And there's a lot of I am statements to help kids with the yoga poses.
Yep.
And so I saw a need for that as well. Children. The other ones were directly curricular related, because I love yoga. So I wrote a yoga journey through India to help in grade three, where would they learn about different famous buildings in India, how to say hello in Hindi, that yoga came from India, that the Taj Mahal is there, some animals that live there, and then yoga poses throughout each page of the story. And then also I wrote another one called The Yoga Journey Through Peru, because that's the other country that we study, and again focusing on famous buildings, animals, the landscape, some of the famous cities in Peru, and all to tie into my grade three curriculum. And then last year Alberta was going to change the curriculum, and I stopped. I wasn't going to write the Ukraine and Tunisia one, and then we got a new government and they didn't change the curriculum, so I'm still like not sure if I'll write the other two in that area, because I'm like, well, if I don't have to teach these two things anymore, there's no point in spending time on this, because I have so many other ideas. I just published one in September of this year. My latest one's called I Am Empathetic.
Oh, yes.
I can understand empathy. So that just came out on September long weekend. It became live on Amazon.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. So, oh, I also wrote one on divorce for kids. That one is very dear to my heart, and it is called Divorce is a D Word.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes two homes can be better than one. Yeah. And because there are so many children in my classes, in every class that I've ever taught, who have separated parents, and just for them to realize that it's not their fault, and parents are doing the best they can. And sometimes it's healthier for parents and for kids to live in two separate homes, and no matter what, they still love you very, very much.
Absolutely.
That's the message of that book, and it sparks a lot of conversations and really helps those kids, especially kids who sometimes, not all kids, but sometimes I've had kids come into my classroom whose parents split up over the summer, and they're like in crisis mode. And then some kids' parents split up over the summer and you wouldn't even know. They're just dealing with it on the outside that well, but on the inside, it might be very different. So just being, recognizing the mindfulness that they can have with regards to their situation is also a focus of the book.
It's truly wonderful that you're taking these complex, you know, scary emotions that little kids might not understand and making them almost friendly in a sense of being able to be understood. That's awesome. That's really wonderful. I love that.
Yeah, I sometimes write when I have like ideas. Like one day, some kids in my class last year were just at each other and being not very nice, and I was just so frustrated with them. I was like, you guys, like, why are you being so mean to each other? And so I came home that night and I just started scribbling in my journal, and I wrote this book, and it's called What Do You Learn at School? And I haven't finished illustrating it yet. I haven't even started illustrating it yet. But the next day I took it into the classroom and I said, so I'm going to sit in author's chair today instead of you guys, because usually I get them to write and then whoever wants to share gets to share in our author's chair in our classroom. And I said, I went home last night after talking with some kids and dealing with some of the things that we've been dealing with in the classroom, and I wrote a story, and I want to know if you think over the summer I should illustrate it. And so I read the story to the kids, and the message really at the end is that, how do you want to be remembered? Because kids aren't going to remember what I teach them, what they learned about Peru. Maybe they might remember the like country Peru and Machu Picchu, but they're not going to remember everything that I teach them about any of those things. But what they are going to remember is how I make them feel. And what they're going to remember about every single kid in our classroom is how that kid made them feel. So the like last line of the story is, how do you want to be remembered? And when I finished reading the story, my entire class like started clapping. And I never had them clap like that. And I was like, so you think I should illustrate it? And they're all like, yes. So that's the next one I need to work on, because I didn't get it done over the summer.
That's so wonderful. I love that. I'm curious, Amanda, can you talk a little bit about like what I find a lot of ladies struggle with when they're trying to create a side gig or be, you know, an entrepreneur, is their mindset. It sounds like you have a really powerful process on how you decide what you're going to do, how you get something executed. Do you mind sharing a little bit about what you go through to go from start to finish?
Well, one of the things that I struggled with at the start was I had all these ideas and I had no idea where to start. And so actually I had like all these ideas for years in my head, and I was like, I don't know where to start, and I have all these ideas and I just don't know what to do. And so I met with April, the girl that I ended up co-authoring a book with. We just happened to cross paths a few times in our lives. First I met her at a yoga workshop. She was teaching a yoga class. And then I met her at one of our mutual friends' birthday parties, and I was like, that girl has this amazing business. I don't know how she got started. So after meeting her through yoga and then meeting her at a birthday party, I messaged the friend whose birthday party we were at, and I said, can I get your friend April's number? I want to sit down and just ask, brainstorm with her how she started. Like, do you think she'd talk to me? And so she was totally up for talking to me. She brought her son over because we were both single moms. And I was like, I just want to pick your brain. These are all my ideas. What do I do? How did you start your business? And she's like, you just have to start. I started my business as, like, speaking from her, she started her business as just something she did when she was at home with her son when he was a baby, because she left when he was like 8 months old or something. And she would make jewelry. She'd make jewelry while he was sleeping, and then she'd go, and she was a massage therapist and yoga teacher, and she would go to like fairs and stuff and sell her jewelry, and it just became this very popular jewelry line. And now she's in countries, like multiple countries across the world, and she went to like the Emmys and different things with her jewelry line, and speaks at things. She co-authored a book, she co-authored with me as well. And so she was like, you just have to start and then things will start taking off. Because I was like, I want to run workshops and I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this and I just don't know where to start. And so I just started. I started with running art workshops out of my house, running art workshops for people, like for a book club, for a friend's book club. And then I joined the book club. And then one of the ladies from the book club asked me to illustrate a book for her mom. And so I illustrated a book for her mom, and you just have to start. And it, even if where you start isn't where you end and where you end up focusing, you just have to start and try different things. And sometimes you try things and they don't work the way you hope. Like I started an Etsy account, and I still have an Etsy account that sells some of my art prints, but I sell like one art print a month, but like, who cares? That's $30.
That's right.
Can go buy a new shirt.
That's right.
And it just really is you just have to start and have that passion and drive and not be focused on the end goal, focused on like, what can I do in the moment that's going to make me happy and going to make me feel fulfilled, like from within, I think is really where the key for me anyways is that I just started. I started running workshops for people out of my house, and I just send it off on Facebook and be like, I'm having a mandala making workshop at my house. Does anybody want to come?
Awesome.
Or I'm going to try doing a workshop on painting wine glasses. Do you guys want to come over?
That is fun.
$25 a person. And I just started like that. And then I had people have me, and I don't do the workshops as often now because I'm so busy with the books, but I started with that. And then I ended up getting my Reiki masters. And so I do that a little bit on the side, and I help the person who taught me Reiki quite often because he's blind. And so I'll go and I'll help him teach the courses. And he just has an amazing following of spiritual mindfulness people that it's just like so empowering to be around. So yeah, you just never know where, once you start, where it will take you.
Absolutely. You talked a little bit about, you know, trying as an entrepreneur, you got to try and see what works and see what doesn't. Can you talk about a time where something didn't pan out and what you learned from it?
Absolutely. So April and I, again, we wanted to run a yoga retreat and a yoga and art retreat. And so one of the things we started doing was we planned this yoga and art retreat, and she has like 25,000 followers on Instagram. So we thought we could fill our yoga retreat like no problem with how many followers she has on Instagram. I have like 400 followers on Instagram. Not really good at keeping up with it. But so we thought, yes, this will be easy peasy. Like I'll do the back end technology work. We'll get it up. And we had such a hard time getting people. Like at the one point, a week before it was about to happen, we were going to lose money running the course. Like we weren't even going to break even. And so that was a huge, huge learning experience about perseverance, about, oh man, do we do this? Do we cancel last minute? What do we do? And just within the last week before it happened, we had two people sign up. So we made like a little bit of money on the course, but we learned a ton. And everyone that came, there was a 6 or 8 women that came to the yoga retreat. Like it was very quaint. But I learned so much, and I can't even imagine how much I would have lost out if I wouldn't have tried. And was it the success we wanted it to be? No. But for those 8 women, it absolutely was. They like wrote like an amazing review for us. And we wanted to like possibly do more and more retreats, but because it didn't pan out quite the way we wanted it to, we've been a little reluctant to do it again. Even though every time I see some of the people, like there were people that ran into the, came to our course or went or on my Facebook, they'll be like, when are you going to run another yoga retreat? Because we're coming. And I'm like, oh, I'm scared. I'm scared to go out on a limb with that again. But I want to. And I learned so much that last time that I do think I need to again. But it's scary to put yourself out there for things that may or may not work.
And one
of my books doesn't work, like the Yoga Journey Through Peru. Doesn't sell at all on Amazon, but I don't really care because the whole purpose of it is to help me teach grade three. It's not to make money. It's to help my classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Some of them are like the purpose of that isn't to be a money maker. If it makes me money, oh, that would be awesome. But my main purpose is to help it enrich my classroom. And if on the side it makes me money, that's fantastic. But my end goal isn't necessarily money. I'd love to make more money, but but sometimes we do things and they don't work out the way we hoped they would. But it doesn't mean that we didn't learn something along the way.
100%. Absolutely. That's so true.
Is that a good question?
Yes, that was great. The other question I had, you know, we talked about lessons learned and failure, which is great because we always learn from something from that. But I'm curious, what are you most proud of when you look back on your journey so far?
Publishing the 7 books on Amazon in the last 2 years. That is what I'm most proud of. But also not just the fact that they're up on Amazon, but the message that they have for kids about mindfulness, about empowering your life after divorce for kids. I'm actually working on an adult book right now, with a collaboration book where April and I are trying to get a bunch of people from different backgrounds that have the view of a positive view on divorce to get rid of the stigma. So that people who feel stigmatized by divorce recognize that they're not the only ones, and that there's tons of people who have been through it and who actually come out feeling more alive and empowered afterwards. And so that's something that I think will be a huge, huge thing that I will be very proud of eventually. But I think just being able to draw and illustrate books, and I never in a million years thought I'd illustrate and have 7 books on Amazon in 2 years, but I just do a little bit each day, like
yeah,
a little tiny bit. And if an idea comes, I write it all down. And then I really, the thing that takes me the longest is the illustrations and sitting down to actually draw. That part I struggle with because sometimes I don't think I'm a good enough drawer. And I actually had a lady who, they take books and they translate them into different languages and then distribute them all over the world. And she really liked my books, but she didn't like the illustrations in the first book. And for It's Okay to Feel, and it made me feel, she's like, you need to get a different illustrator. And I was like, well, part of the purpose of my book is so that kids feel empowered by my book, that a teacher, their teacher, can write and illustrate a book and it's up on Amazon for the world to see. So if I go and I pay somebody else to illustrate it for me, that's removing that authenticity. So sometimes I struggle with that piece, but I also need to continue to keep drawing so that I overcome that fear.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. Like, ladies, the golden nuggets that Amanda is giving you right now, you should be writing this down. So like you talked about doing something every day that is gold, like take that all the way to the bank. And then the authenticity message, so powerful. Oftentimes women who are especially sharing their message on social media don't think that they have anything of value to share. But that's not true. I mean, just listen to what Amanda is saying. That is so profound. I love it.
Yeah, I think too, like being vulnerable. I know Brené Brown talks a lot about being vulnerable, and being vulnerable with people is huge. And it, for a long time, it took me, especially in teaching. Like I'm a teacher, I'm a professional, and I'm divorced, and I felt like that. Look, people look down on me because of that, because how can she be a good teacher and she can't even keep her marriage together, right? But then I realized that after I would talk to people or help help parents who are going through divorce. Like, being a divorcee is so empowering, and they're so grateful when you can relate to them, or you're vulnerable back with them. They're like, they realize that they're not the only ones feeling that way. And so I recognize that being able to be vulnerable with people helps empower not only myself, but empowering them too. Like, the things that you think people will judge you for, they're not going to judge you at all. They're going to want to help you.
Absolutely. That's so well said. The last question I have for you, Amanda, this evening is, when you look towards the future, what vision do you have for yourself and for your business?
Well, I really, really want to help people. One of my biggest focuses has always been, how can I help others, but learn to love who they are. I know when I teach kids, sometimes they really struggle with loving who they are and being empowered by who they are. They judge themselves by, well, my printing's not as neat as that person's, or I can't draw like that kid, or I can't kick the soccer ball like that kid. And my biggest message for people is that we're all different. We all have strengths, we all have gifts, and we all need to feel empowered by our gifts and not beat ourselves up because of the things we feel we're not good at. It's okay to not be good at writing. Like, I tell my kids all the time in class, like, if you're not a good writer, that's okay. Not all of us are here to be good writers, but we're gonna try. And even if you can't write a sentence at the beginning of grade 3, well, then your goal is to write 3 sentences by the end of grade 3. But if you come into grade 3 and you can already write pages, well, your goal then is going to be able to become a more fluid writer, or to become a more descriptive writer, or to be able to tie research into your writing. So everybody has different gifts. And while that kid that can't write a sentence in grade 3, they have gifts somewhere else that nobody else has. Maybe they're a whiz on the computer, or they just see things differently, or they're super artistic. And on all of those gifts, we can't get down on ourselves and feel like, oh, I suck at school because I'm not good at math and science, or I'm not good at writing. That really is a hard point with me at being a teacher, because we have to mark based on these standardized assessments and everything. And then I feel so bad having to give them a mark out of 4 based on their writing, when I know they are so creative in other areas, but I don't get to mark on those. And so my biggest thing for people is feel empowered. How can I feel empowered even when sometimes things in society feel like they're against me? Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Even as a teacher, like, it's awful to say, but I don't believe that everyone should go to university, because university sometimes isn't what everybody needs. Some people are amazing at working with wood. Some people are amazing artists. Some people are amazing at technology, and they don't have to go to university to do that. They can learn it all online, or they could do something super empowering with Instagram or with any of the programs that will come out in the future, right?
Yeah, whereas absolutely.
When we're in school, we just think, oh, I'm not good at school, so I'm not good at things, right? And I really want to break that feeling for people and for kids.
I can tell by how you speak and the way you share your story, Amanda, that it's your passion. And ladies, if you want to learn more too, be sure to go to www.artmindfulnessandcreativity.com. I'll make sure that you have the link below in the description, so you can reach out to Amanda. If you have kids, if you're in that situation and you don't know how to talk to even your own children, then I recommend going to Amanda's website and grabbing her books. Amanda, thank you so much for being here tonight. It has been a pleasure getting to know you and hearing a little bit more about your story.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been wonderful. I just hope that it helped somebody out there, and then it was worth it.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We'll end on that.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it and want to learn more strategies on how to do affiliate marketing or network marketing, really how to build passive income online, then join my free Facebook group, Fire Your Boss with Janine Betts. I will see you there.